Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to Pop Off, the show where we take your favorite movies, music, and TV, and we rank them. I'm your host, Ethan Kaufman. Thanks for tuning in. Check out more Ithacan podcasts wherever you're listening to this, or go to theithacan.org. I've been told I say vibes too much, a problem that will not be fixed in this next hour. You read the title. Today we're talking Lana Del Rey, indie pop queen, Tumblr aesthetic godmother. I'ma sit here and I'ma rank her whole discography, but it's not just my list. We've got today's guest, MJ Jacobs. MJ, welcome.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show.
I feel very welcomed. I'm very excited.
Yes, you know how to do this because you have your own podcast.
I do have my own podcast that is currently on hiatus, but we'll be back. We'll be back.
Womp womp.
Hey.
Okay, so when did you first get into Lana Del Rey? Have you been with her from the start?
No, not really at all, actually. Okay. I got into Lana Del Rey last year, actually. Mm-hmm. So very recently. I had friends who are very, very much into her, more than I am. And I really got into her, last summer, kind of when I started college.
Okay.
So around the time that I got, really into her.
You were just feeling all, the sad emotions and whatnot?
A little bit, yeah.
All right. And how high would you say she ranks as far as, your favorite artists go?
My favorite artists, that list is never concrete. It's never concrete. She's probably top five.
Okay.
I'd say around four or five.
Nice.
I'd say.
All right, I first got into her mid-2021. It was, right when I was getting into music properly for the first time, and I just, listened through most of her albums.
Yeah.
And then before Ocean Boulevard came out, I wrote an article for my high school newspaper ranking her discography. So I've done this before.
Has your list changed?
It has a little bit.
Ooh,
so
okay, yeah. Interesting.
So fans of my journalism may be in for a surprise here. I am going to let you go first. You take it away with your number 10.
With my number 10?
What's your number 10?
Okay. My number 10 is Lust for Life. You get ready, you get all dressed up
to go nowhere in particular. Oof.
Shared opinion? Not
it
shared,
is.
Shared
it
opinion.
It is also my number 10.
I don't know. Something about that album, I don't like it very much. It's probably the only one of her albums that I'm I don't like it very much.
Mm-hmm.
I think all the other ones, I like them. I just like some of them more than I like others. I strongly dislike a lot of the features that are on this album.
Yes. Playboi Carti.
Playboi Carti.
A$AP
Rocky.
Stevie Nicks for some reason.
Stevie Nicks. The Weeknd.
That.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. It also, compared to her other albums, it feels more produced than the other ones in a way that I dislike.
It's just kind of like a grab bag of different sounds of someone. I hate saying this, it sounds awful. It sounds like someone trying to make a Lana Del Rey album.
Yeah, very much.
But I don't know. The modern trap influences are really annoying.
It's weird and off-putting.
The two A$AP Rocky songs back to back.
Crazy.
Are not great.
I listened to all of the albums before coming on here.
Yeah.
And when I was listening to this album, I was just I can't. I just don't want to listen to these songs anymore.
Yeah.
Get me out of here.
It's an hour and 12 minutes. It's so long.
She has longer albums, but, this one, a lot of her longer albums are,
They justify their length by being better.
This one's just long and...
Was re-listening to this for the show, I somehow accidentally skipped over, four songs, and I did force myself to go back to listen through the whole thing, but, I got so happy for a second.
Yeah. I was this is way better than I thought it was.
Yeah. I do like this album. I don't love it, but, despite being my least favorite, I do still like parts
of it. There are songs on it that I do enjoy and I will listen to.
The opening and closing tracks are both really good, and I do come back to them.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to get into my number 9.
Get into your number 9.
My number 9 is her first album, Lizzie Grant. If he likes me. Kind of
Whoa.
Whatever. Lana Del Rey when she spelled it with
self-titled but weird.
Yes.
That is not my number 9.
Where is this for you?
That's my number 6.
Ooh.
So I have it above 3 other albums.
And you hadn't listened to it before.
And I hadn't listened to it before this.
Yeah.
And I went on YouTube and I was like, Lana Del Rey, Lizzie album. Lizzie Grant album.
It's good, right?
And it's good. Yes. I really enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah. The only thing that holds it back for me, just because, like, you can tell the budget to make this was so small compared to, like...
Yeah, definitely.
Not even just where she's at now, but where she was on Born to Die.
Yeah.
So, like, production-wise, it doesn't have that lush, kind of grandiose indie pop type feeling. But the songwriting is still really, really good.
Yeah, I really enjoy the songwriting. I really I enjoyed the simplistic vibe of the album.
Yeah.
Definitely the least produced because it had the least budget, but, like, I don't know. I enjoyed the way it was.
It's back when she had something to prove.
Yeah, she wasn't, like, she wasn't Lana Del Rey at that point.
She was Lizzie Grant.
Yeah, exactly. People didn't know who she was, so she was just, like, making music, hoping it got popular.
Yeah. And I think there are a lot of songs here that, like, Pawn Shop Blues is, like, a really good ballad. Put Me in a Movie is a ton of fun. I kind of want to hear these songs, like, maybe not fully re-recorded, but at least, like, remastered.
Yeah.
To hear what they would sound like now. Because, like, the closing track she redid for Paradise, mm-hmm. and it sounds much better there. Great. And I want to hear these in their glory.
I would love a Taylor's version of this album, like Lana's version, even though that's not the context of what it was. But, like, yeah, I would – this album re-recorded, I think, would be really good.
Yeah. What is your number 9?
My number 9 is Chemtrails Over the Country Club.
Sweet moment of a baby.
All right.
Where does that fall for you?
This is my number 7.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. This album came out the same year as Blue Bannisters. I listened to both of those albums back to back. I don't dislike this album. I think it's good. I had skipped out on listening to a lot of these songs before. Like, there was only a few of these songs that I had actually, like, fully listened to before coming on here. And I enjoyed it a lot, but also I enjoyed other albums more. I really enjoyed a few of the songs, like Not All Who Wander Are Lost. I really enjoyed that song.
Yeah.
Really good song. And, like, Let Me Love You Like a Woman. Really enjoyed that song. Overall, just not my favorite.
Fair, fair, fair. This was the first Lana Del Rey album that I listened to when it came out. So it does have maybe a little bit of, like...
Like, bias. Like, yeah. The first thing that you get into is always, you're always going to be biased.
A little bit. I did like it less when it came out, and it has grown on me a little. I think it's very front-loaded.
Agree.
Like, other than Dark But Just a Game, which is probably the track here that I, like, listen to the most just in my rotation, mm-hmm. my favorite tracks are the first 3 tracks, and my least favorite tracks are the last 3 tracks.
Yeah, I got past Not All Who Wander Are Lost, and I was like... Ooh.
Yeah.
What's happening here?
Like, it has a Wiseblood feature, and I'm going to like that, but still, it's, like, For Free is a very weak closer, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like Norman Rockwell 2.0, and it's worse.
And it's worse.
And so I don't like making that comparison, but just, like, it has that sort of Americana folk pop rock kind of sound.
Yeah, it was a bit on the folky side.
Yeah.
Definitely. And also, I like the features on this album more than
the
ones on Lust for Life. But
there's no Sean Ono Lennon on this album.
No. And but I don't know. I tend to dislike a lot of the features on her songs, just like as a general thing. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, there's very few of her songs that have features that I'm like, yeah.
I think it's because her whole thing is about, like, crafting an aesthetic and an image and trying to immerse you in that. And so when The Weeknd comes in, you're like, that's The Weeknd.
Like, this is
The
Weeknd. And
it just kind of immediately pulls you out of it.
There's also, like, I feel like she's such a good songwriter, and it's hard for people to get to that level when they feature on a song with her.
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't know, I feel like her vibe I'm not going to say it's super duper unique. Like, it is just very, like, sad indie-style music.
Yeah.
But it has its own thing, and it's hard to match that.
I think maybe there's, like, just sort of a difficulty that comes in with bringing other artists, because they're very different type of artists, and they don't really gel well with her.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the people that she hangs out with and the artists that she chooses to feature are not the same as her music. Those songs suffer from that.
But, I would agree. Yeah. Hit me again. What's your number 8?
Number 8 is the other album that came out that year, Blue Bannisters. Where does that fall for you?
Blue Bannisters is my 6.
Gotcha. I enjoy Blue Bannisters. I think it's better than Chemtrails, but also it's still not, like, still not my favorite. I really enjoy, like, Dealer is one of my favorite Lana Del Rey songs of all time. That song by itself is part of the reason that it's not lower. But I do really enjoy a lot of the other songs in this album. Like, If You Lie Down With Me, great song. Love that song. Beautiful. Such a sad song.
Damn.
This album, just, like, as a whole, I think it's good. It's a little bit just like,
yeah.
Like, it's an album.
It is an album.
Like, it's an album. It's not pushing anything compared to other albums. It's good. And I don't have strong thoughts on this album, which is why it's number 8.
Yeah, I don't have strong thoughts on it either. I used to like it a little bit more. I think when I did my original ranking, it was at, like, number 4.
Whoa.
Ocean Boulevard hadn't come out yet.
Gotcha, so that makes sense.
It is, but, like, it's down to number 6 now for me. I do still really like it. It sounds very old-timey.
Yeah, it has that vibe.
In a way that other albums, because, like, saying that, I would compare it to Honeymoon, but Honeymoon still has, like, a lot of synths and stuff that make it, like, a modern version of that. This does feel like much more of a throwback. Obviously, Dealer is amazing.
Such a good song.
And there are, like, a lot of other moments here that I love. Like, the sort of glitchy drums and, like, all that at the end of Wildfire, mm-hmm. which is terrible to say. I'm never saying that name again. In Living Legend, there's that one part where her voice comes in, but it sounds like an electric guitar because of just how many effects they put onto it, and it sounds amazing. And then Thunder also is really, really good.
I really enjoy Thunder.
But overall, I think as an album, it feels like it's doing a lot less than some of the others. I can get on board with that because I do think it doesn't have that many low moments either.
No,
it's just very middle of the
road. It's very neutral.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing.
But the album cover of her with the big dogs
is really funny. Oh, cool as hell.
Yeah.
Her album covers never miss, honestly.
All right. I am going to get into my number 8.
Yeah, what's your number 8?
Which is technically not an album, but we put it here anyway. It's Paradise. I hear the birds on the summer breeze. I drive fast.
I am alone in midnight. Okay, whoa.
Is that your 7?
That's my number 4.
Oh, dang. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I understand. I mean, when you listen to Born to Die, the Paradise Edition, the Born to Die songs are significantly better than the Paradise songs. But I still really enjoy Paradise. Body Electric and Blue Velvet, great songs. Cole is really funny.
Ride is maybe her best opener. I don't know. It's close.
I'm biased toward, like...
Title track on NFR is up there, too, but, like...
Title track on NFR, title track on Born to Die. But Ride is a very good song.
Yeah.
Gods and Monsters, also a very good song. I can understand it being that low. It's not, again, not pushing anything.
The reason it isn't any higher for me is I can't justify it, because, really, it is Born to Die B-sides.
Oh, yeah.
Just a collection of B-sides. But they are really, really good.
But they're good.
I just don't think... Like, I can't rank it higher because as an album, or like, it's an EP. It's not even an album.
It is an EP, yeah.
It doesn't really have its own unique thing going for it, and
that's
I can't
fair.
Look at it without comparing it to Born to Die, which, like you said, is just better.
Just better. I really enjoy a lot of the songs on this album.
I think she gets, at least lyrically, like, especially on Cola and Gods and Monsters a little, much more, like, risque.
Oh, yeah.
With the lyrics, which is a ton of fun.
The lines in Cola of just, like, my blank tastes like Pepsi Cola is
crazy
so
thing
funny.
To start a song with.
So funny.
Yeah. This and Born to Die just have that very cinematic sort of production, and I could listen to it forever. I do think it's the sound of hers that sounds the most dated. Maybe it's just because it's from her earliest projects.
It's from 2012.
Yeah, like, I hear it, and it's very much like I imagined myself in 2012.
Yeah.
But overall, I do still really love this.
I agree.
What is your number 7?
My number 7 is Honeymoon.
All right.
Where does that fall for you?
Honeymoon is my number 5.
Gotcha. I enjoy this album. High by the Beach, great song. Really enjoy that song. Music to Watch Boys 2, great song.
That's some good music that I would put on to Watch Boys.
It's music that I watch boys to. I've done it. It's great. But yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of, I don't know, they're it's not better than any of the other things that I have. I think Art Deco, great song. Very silly.
I love Art Deco.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoy that song.
Yeah.
That song is very, very good to just have on.
It's so Art Deco.
Yeah, I don't have strong opinions on this album, which is why it's number 7. I enjoy it. I listen to it. I like some of the songs on it a lot. Some of the songs are meh.
Which songs are meh?
The ending songs, I think. I like The Blackest Day, but then the last 3 songs, I'm like, they're okay. Yeah. They're good. I like them, but they're okay.
Blackest Day is my favorite song on the album. Salvatore is also a lot of fun.
Salvatore, great song. Yeah. I love listening to that song. Because I'm just like, what is going on here? Like, what are we doing?
She's never really done anything like that again. No. And it's so funny.
It's such a silly song.
Yeah. And then what else? Terrence Loves You is also really great.
Great song.
The opening title track is really, really good.
Very good.
Feels very minimalist, and it's just the strings.
Yep.
And it is such a nice way to be led into this kind of world. And I talked about it before, but it is much more of a throwback, I think, than
definitely
anything she had done up to this point. Just like sort of the old Hollywood aesthetic.
Yeah, very much.
Which she gets made fun of for a lot now because it's like, oh, Lana Del Rey, old Hollywood back.
Yeah.
But like, executed so well.
It's done really well. Like, I get that what she does is a little bit silly, and the aesthetic that she goes for is a little bit of glorification, but she does it really, really well. And I appreciate that, and I enjoy listening to it and feeling that vibe coming from her music.
Yeah. Lana Del Rey is a character.
She's
it's
a
not
character.
Actually her.
No.
And, like, Honeymoon specifically feels like a very, I said the word lush before already, but I think this is maybe her most lush sounding album. I just really love what she does with like the orchestration.
Yep.
And all like the, because again, you have some of those like synthy trap influences, but they aren't as overbearing as they are on Lust for Life.
Yeah,
it feels like a much better balance between all of that. And it's just, it's a nice little aesthetic world that she's tumbling through. And we get to go on the journey with her.
Let me hop into my number 5.
Oh.
If I may.
You may.
If I may. Ultraviolence.
Ultraviolence.
All my top 5 albums, so good. They're all really good albums.
Yes. I will corroborate that by saying that this is my number 2 and I love it.
I love this album.
I love it so much.
I love this album. It's a great, great album. Can't talk about this album without talking about Brooklyn Baby.
Of course.
Such a funny song. So funny.
And my boyfriend's in a band.
Talking about my January. It's so funny whenever that song comes on. That song is played in, like, public spaces a lot, I found.
Yeah, it
is. And whenever that part comes on, I just actually cannot stop myself from laughing.
Everyone puts it on their Instagram story.
Oh, yeah. Because it's just like...
Modern classic.
Oh, yeah. This album is... It's so pretty. It's so nice. It's so smooth.
Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys comes on to do production here, and it rocks so hard.
Oh, yeah.
The guitar solo on Shades of Cool...
So good.
He's amazing.
So good.
And then my favorite song from the album, West Coast, is one of my favorite Lana Del Rey songs just in general. Like, it changes tempo when it goes into the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very strong sense of momentum in the verses, and then it slows down in the chorus and gets much more sensual.
Yep.
And it's so good.
So good.
It's so good.
This album also has one of my favorite songs, which is Pretty When You Cry.
Yes.
Love that song so much. Very, very good. Like, very much just, like, good to have on, good to just listen to at, like...
Really? I think the first half of this album is just insane, like, song to song, back to back.
Oh, yeah. Banger after banger after banger.
And then even getting into the second half, which I don't like as much, but it is still amazing. Like, because Old Money I really love. The way, her voice just kind of keeps levitating higher and higher.
The Other Woman is quite a sad song.
Yes.
But I enjoy it.
And speaking of sad songs, Sad Girl, which is
Sad Girl,
just kind of funny.
Sad Girl. The fact that the song is just called Sad Girl and she's just going, I'm a sad girl, is really funny. but it's also just really good.
Yeah. Why? I feel like nobody, like, people make fun of it a little, like, the album, her entire discography. That song is the song to make fun of.
That song is perfect to make fun of, yeah. And people do not do it enough.
Not at all. All right, I'm going to get into my number four.
Go for it.
Born to Die.
Singing in the old bars, swinging with the old stars, living for the fame. Kissing in the blue dark, playing, pulling wild dots, video game.
Okay.
Where's Born to Die for you?
Born to Die is my number two.
Ooh, okay.
Because when you listen to Born to Die, the Paradise Edition, this side is just so much better.
Yes.
Like, it's just so good. I really enjoy a lot of these songs.
So Born to Die, I was familiar with before I got into her.
Yes.
Officially. Just because it was everywhere it came out. And I was only, like, 8 or 9 back then. But, like, they put radio on the radio a lot. Like, Summertime Sadness is...
has been huge for, like, years.
Yes.
Like, everybody has heard Summertime Sadness. Yeah. Even if you haven't heard any Lana Del Rey songs, you've heard Summertime Sadness.
Yeah. Video Games is my favorite track off the album and was for a very, very long time my favorite Lana Del Rey song. I don't think it's quite there anymore, but I love it so much. It sounds like a fairy tale. It sounds like a fairy tale garden.
My favorite song is, it's probably National Anthem.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite song in this album. I really like that song. But also, a lot of the other songs are so good. Like, This Is What Makes Us Girls. Great song.
Yeah.
Great song.
People underrate that one.
People
so
underrate
much.
That song. It goes it goes softer. Yeah. It goes quicker. It
Off to the Races is a ton of fun.
Off to the Races is great. There's one song on this album that I just like actually do not like,
and that is
Carmen. I just do not like that song.
It's probably my least favorite. I do like it.
I don't love it. Like genuinely, I just don't like it for some reason. It, just how I feel about that song. I think.
Blue Jeans is great despite the horrific SNL performance that kind of, like, etched itself in pop culture history.
Yeah. Diet Mountain Dew, kind of iconic.
Yeah. And then we already talked about the title track, but...
Yeah.
Such a great opener.
Great opener.
Having, like, the strings in, like, the first 10 seconds.
Yeah. You hear the opening of that song, and you know what's going on. Like, it sets the mood for the album really, really well. The album cover of her just standing there.
I hate the album cover, so but it's so
stupid.
Iconic at this point.
But, like, everyone knows it.
Right.
Like, she's just standing there.
Yeah.
And looking at you.
I love how for, like, her first... Really, a lot of her first albums, it's just, like, her name in that same giant font.
Almost every single one of her albums, up until Chemtrails, is just a picture of her, and then her name at the top, and then the album name at the bottom. And it's so silly.
It's so funny, because it's so basic, and then she's like, I don't know, because she, with Born to Die specifically, she kind of invented a new genre, or at the very least brought it to the mainstream in a way where it hadn't been before, to where I'm wearing my little Lorde sweater right now. I don't think Lorde necessarily exists without this album.
I don't think
either. She used this album a lot as inspiration for Pure Heroine,
and it shows. And it shows a lot, and Pure
Melodrama, too.
And those are both great albums.
Yes. Those are, two of the best pop albums of all time.
Yeah.
And then, Billie Eilish doesn't exist without
her.
All.
No.
And so, you can go down the rabbit hole of, who influences who, and a lot of it does come back to this.
A lot of it comes back to her. This album, it was so influential.
Right.
So,
it's weird calling Lana Del Rey an indie artist now, obviously, because she's not.
She's not.
But she started as one.
She definitely started as one, and her indie songs are very good.
Yeah. And this album is like a very, I wouldn't say bubblegum pop, because it's not, but it's like an overly theatrical, it has a lot of classical, like Baroque chamber influence.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to hear something like that being as popular as it is.
Yeah, and it's very, I'm not going to say flashy, but it's like a lot of what's used, it's very flashy. Like you listen to this album and there's a lot that goes on where it's just like big things coming into the song over her singing, and it's like
vibes. Right. We are both down to our number three and our
number one. We have two albums.
Do they line up?
Do they line up?
What's your number three?
Ocean Boulevard. Jimmy, Jimmy, Ride. Jimmy,
shimmy, cocoa butter, shimmy, give me high. Love me if you love enough, you can be my life. Shimmy, only love me when you wanna get high.
Also mine.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Really, really good album. Love this album. So much. Don't like a lot of the features on it. Again, it has that issue.
Yeah.
Features, objectively better than other features.
The Father John Misty feature is amazing.
So good. So good. The Father John Misty feature is so good. Paris, Texas is one of my favorite songs.
Yes.
The Bleachers feature, also very good.
A&W.
Oh, my God. A&W is one of the, like, genuinely, in my opinion, it's one of the best songs of all time.
I might agree
with
you. Like,
it is so good.
Yeah. I think the lyrics in that first part with that guitar, which is sounds so beautiful, the lyrics are some of her most introspective ever. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And I love seeing, because this is her most recent album, mm-hmm. I love seeing how much evolution has taken place in her songwriting, because mm-hmm. she's always been a very good songwriter, but at first, it was much more of that aesthetic.
Yeah.
And it still has a lot of that, but she has talked about herself and her own yeah. image a lot more. Yep. And this is the song that I think really gets to a lot of the heart of that. And then the instrumental break where it goes full trip-hop.
So
and
good.
And goes, it's just insane
and then
what
gets,
this sounds like.
It's just like listening to that song. How long is this song? This
7 minutes.
7 minutes long. It's so good the entire time.
Yeah.
Like there's the first half, there's the instrumental break, and then there's the second half. And it's just, it flows so well. The songwriting, it's so good. It's just like.
More pop artists do stuff like this, please.
Please, please.
I am someone who never listens to singles before an album drops generally because I just want to go into the album completely blind and take it all in. And I heard people talking about this when it came out, which was, I think, on Valentine's Day last year. And they were calling it, like, easily song of the year, one of her best, if not her best. And I'm like, I gotta take a look at this. And then I wound up listening to it probably, I think, like 20 times in that first day or two.
Yeah.
And I was, like, obsessed with it.
Yeah. It's so good. Like, you listen to the song, and then you just have to, you just keep listening to it.
Yeah.
Because it's so good. And I think also the title track for this album.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
It feels like a much better execution of what Chemtrails was trying to do by, like, sort of redoing 100%. NFR.
100%.
But, like, it's better here.
But it's better here.
Candy Necklace, the piano on that is amazing.
So good.
The title track is really good.
Mm-hmm.
The closing track, where she samples her own song.
It's so silly.
I know.
But it's so good.
Like, it's just fully camp. And
like you listen, to it, and I was like, "This is your song yeah. that you're sampling. Like that's your voice."
Yeah,
but it's so good and it's so silly.
Shall we get into our collective
number one?
Yeah,
people know what we're talking about.
It's NFR.
It's NFR.
You know it.
Know this
you
album.
You love it.
You love this album. This
one
album,
of my favorite albums of all time.
Actually, yeah, objectively one of my favorite albums yeah. of all time. I know that sentence didn't make any sense.
Objectively.
Objectively my favorite doesn't.
Objectively your opinion.
Doesn't make any sense, but it is. It doesn't miss.
It doesn't miss.
At any point,
no.
In my opinion, it does not miss. And I think from the beginning to the end, so incredibly good. Like the first
three songs are probably the best run she's ever had.
Oh, yeah. Title track, so good.
Not going to say the lyric for sake of censorship, but that first lyric, how do you open an album like that? Oh, my gosh. And then Mariner's Apartment Complex, which I listened to on the way here. So vibes.
So good. So vibes. And then
Venice B-Word.
Venice B-Word.
Which is 10 minutes.
10 minute long song.
Which is
that does think, not falter at any point.
Yeah.
It is such a good song.
Because it goes from several minutes of just being her best song already, kind of.
Yeah.
But just a regular song to like an extended jam session of like psych rock. And it's
just
so
actually
cool.
keeps going.
Yeah. It's so cool. I love it.
Also, the last three songs on this album are also really, really good.
I'm gonna have you say last four, because The Greatest is probably my second favorite off this album.
I really enjoy that song, too, but
Kanye West is Blonde and Gone? No?
Kanye West is Blonde and Gone. She's real for that. Yeah. She's right. Happiness is a Butterfly. Oh, my God. And Hope is a Dangerous Thing for a Woman Like Me to Have. So good.
Yeah.
So good. Those songs are so good.
I ordered a Happiness is a Butterfly sweatshirt at the beginning of the school year, and it never got here, and I'm still upset about it.
That's so sad. Yeah.
Cinnamon Girl.
Cinnamon Girl, great song.
Like, when she does, the little vocalizations after the chorus, or I guess it kind of is the chorus.
Yeah.
It's so, emotionally potent.
Yeah. This song is so emotional.
The way her voice cracks a little bit in F and I Love You is amazing. Yeah. How to Disappear, I've always thought of as, I imagine it playing at a department store during Christmas. Yeah. But it's a quality Christmas vibe. Oh, yeah.
That's such a good song.
There's a Sublime cover for no reason, and it slaps.
California, The Next Best American Record.
Love Song.
Love Song, Doing Time. All of the songs on this album.
Every single song on this album.
Banger after banger after banger. She does not miss with this album.
Yeah.
Also, the album cover, awesome.
I have it on my wall.
Genuinely.
I have it on my dorm room wall. Probably
her,
it's good.
It's her best album cover.
Yeah.
So good.
It kind of fades into the watercolor pastels at the top. It's so nice.
The comic book text.
Yeah.
Things that are on it.
NFR!
NFR! Exclamation point. And then LDR at the bottom. Yeah.
I forgot how silly she is a lot of the time.
I think people don't understand just how silly she is.
She's in on the
joke. With a lot of her, she is in on the joke.
Yeah.
She knows why people make fun of her. She knows what she does is a little bit silly, and she leans into it.
I'm looking back at the Honeymoon album cover where she's in this convertible.
Yeah.
And is so tiny.
She's small.
It's so funny.
The Chemtrails album cover. Yeah. A bunch of people at a country club. a bunch of girls.
Paradise album cover is just the Born to Die album cover, but worse. And it's funny.
It's funny.
Also, just going back to NFR, people can dunk on Jack Antonoff if they want, but when he's hitting, he's hitting.
He hits.
And that is our Lana Del Rey albums list. Thank you all for listening. MJ, thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Ethan, for this such incredible topic.
Absolutely.
Check out the Under a Rock podcast, which is mine and a couple of my friends' other podcasts.
Jaden was here.
Jaden, who was on this podcast. He's on that podcast.
Yes.
Check it out.
And Rachel, who's probably going to wind up here eventually some way or another.
And Ethan will probably end up on that podcast one way or another. Thank you, guys. Very cool.
Thank you all. This has been Pop Off. We'll see you all next time. MJ, we won't see you. You won't be here, but it was great having you.
Thank you, Ethan.
Bye, 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 bye.
Adios. Bye-bye.
See ya.